Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 78, Hyper-V R3, Windows Server 2012. Here we go. Today, my guest is Aidan Finn. So, Aidan, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you do and all that?
Okay, so I'm technical sales lead with a distributor in Dublin in Ireland called Micro Warehouse. And I work with System Center, Hyper-V, a little bit with Forefront. I write, so I've written books like Mastering Hyper-V Deployment, Mastering Windows 7 Deployment, contributed to Microsoft Private Cloud, currently writing Windows Server 2012 Installation and Configuration Guide, Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V Installation and Configuration Guide, excuse me. And I tweet as @Joe_Elway, and I blog on aidenfinn.com.
So, I told you about, I was going to ask, who is Joe Elway? What is the story? I've been confused for a long time.
Yeah, I get that question a lot. It goes back to, I'm guessing it was 93 or 94 when I was in college. And we first got internet access with VAX green screens, of all things. And we were told, never reveal your real name on the internet. It was a real no-no. It was a major risk. And I guess they were afraid of identity theft back then. And we found this BBS called ISCA BBS, which I think was run by the student union of the University of Iowa or someone like that. And it was absolutely huge, massive numbers of people using it. Well, it was kind of the Facebook of its day, I suppose. And I tried to come up with a unique username, couldn't find anything. And eventually I decided to use the names of my two favorite quarterbacks. I'm a big 49ers fan, so Joe Montana is where Joe came from. And I love the way John Elway played, so Elway, that's where that came from.
Interesting. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Actually, that's hilarious. I love it. Love it. Therefore, that's probably your alias, your logon for many things, and therefore became your Twitter ID.
Yeah, there are people who think my name is Joe. And, and it's one of these things that I shouldn't have used it on Twitter. I did, and I've been trying to transition to my real name over the last few years. But it's kind of stuck on Twitter, and I guess I'll be leaving it because someone else took Aidan Finn.
Interesting. Yeah. So, the funny thing is that, you know, I did the same thing with my Twitter account. I went with just the first name, last name, right? Nothing real fancy. But I wish at the time that I did something cute like Rickatron or got on earlier and just got Rick or something, small and short, but not so lucky, nonetheless, excellent story. And, of course, AidenFinn.com is an award-winning, meaning it's one of my favorite, Hyper-V blogs that are out there. And if you guys haven't been to his website, listeners, definitely check it out. This is the guy. And if I'm correct, Aidan, you're also a Hyper-V MVP. Is that right?
I am. I was lucky enough to win that award. Originally, I was a Config Manager MVP my first year, back in 2008. And it was kind of funny because when I got the award, I was starting to I was mainly working in the server space and I wasn't really working in the hybrid of server and desktop. So I wasn't working with Config Manager anymore. And I found myself working with Hyper-V. And that's what I started writing and blogging about. And, you know, I was learning the pain points and I was blogging my experiences, and I was lucky then a year later I got switched over to the virtual machine expertise, as it's called. Yep. Where we all call it Hyper-V, and I've been there since, and it's been quite a privilege.
Outstanding. Well, cool. Let's jump into kind of the content that we wanted to talk about here today, and that's Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V. And, I mean, Aidan, you've seen Hyper-V and a lot of Windows technologies through the years. I mean, it's pretty clear that we're all impressed with the technology, right? You know, what's come out with Windows Server 2012 with Hyper-V and of course, the standalone Hyper-V Server 2012. What's your take on it? You know, is this a long time coming? Are you really impressed? Surprise?
All of the above. It's a huge release. I've been trying to keep track of all the new features that I could find. I've been posting them on my blog, where I've got one article listing everything I can think of. And it's huge. Everything you thought you knew about Hyper-V in the past, almost all of it goes to one side. And there's just so much more information, and we're just struggling, just trying to learn it all, and trying to write this book. It was just impossible to do it by myself. I had to bring on some, you know, friends and colleagues, to help me, because, you know, between the deadlines and the amount of material that we have to cover, it would have been impossible for one or even two or even three people to do it. It's a really interesting release. You know, there's a lot of improvements over existing features. And stuff that people have been requesting, like live snapshot merging, direct I/O for backup of cluster shared volumes, NIC teaming built into Windows Server for the first time ever, completely supported for Hyper-V and failover clustering. In fact, strongly recommended for some of the interesting new architectures we can do. Fully uses and embraces faster bandwidth, like 10 gig and InfiniBand. So, you know, the larger organizations and the large enterprises are going to have the bandwidth they need to be able to do those unlimited simultaneous live migrations. There's so much in it. And, you know, when you start talking to the bigger companies and you start talking about how it's, you know, to use Microsoft's own marketing, built from the cloud up, it's an amazing piece of engineering. Yeah. When you see the story of how they engineered it, they literally did spend the first year writing zero lines of code. They spent the time talking to people, finding out what it is they wanted, what do they want to improve, where do they see their businesses going down the future. And then year two, they started coding. And as we know, in year three, they showed it to us. And it's a year ago since they showed it to us at the Build conference. And a lot of jaws hit the floor. We were gobsmacked at the amount of work that they'd done.
And just, you know, just because you are our guest of honor today, the book is called Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V Installation and Configuration Guide, and it's due in March of next year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the conservative date. It might actually be before that.
Okay.
You know, we're on schedule. And we're producing a lot more content than was anticipated. So I have one chapter on disaster recovery that ended up having to become two chapters because I had written 84 pages of text.
Wow. I know I can definitely appreciate that, Aiden, because I contributed to a book. It's not out yet. A book on Windows 8, and I was invited to write the Hyper-V chapter. And I know the amount of work that goes into it. And I knew that I couldn't do it all, so I'm like, hey, I can do one chapter. But, you know, props to that. And this is an interesting topic to write a book on because it's a lot of new work, right? It's not like you can, you know, take the last version and just update it. Now, this is – everything's new. So you really have a lot of work.
The last Hyper-V book, I went with a different approach with the last book. We looked at the entire project, and we included, you know, the assessment and the system center work that you would do as well. And if we had done that with this book, we would have something that wouldn't fit on a bookshelf.
Wow. It would be those boxes of books. Remember the Windows, you know, things you'd get that were like 8 books in a box?
Yeah, it would probably be about 2 of those. And you consider that System Center is now 8 products.
Yeah, System Center is a whole nother beast. I did a webinar with some of my colleagues in Europe this morning about that. And, man, I'm glad there's a lot more, you know, more focused people on that because it's really... I don't want to say complicated, but there's a lot to it. And the fact is today that, you know, I've been saying this a lot, but I got to keep saying it because it's right, is that, yeah, sure, let's go ahead and agree on calling something cloud, private cloud, even my own data center. But wherever there's a cloud, you know, there's still infrastructure. There's still technologies underneath of it. And things like virtualization and, you know, then above that to manage and separate and configure, all that good stuff, you know, that all still – has to happen. So, lot of details in that, and best of luck finishing up the book. And it looks like you've got Patrick, Michael, and Damien helping you out on that. So it looks to be a cracking title.
Yeah, there are three very interesting people. Patrick is a virtual machine MVP like myself, and is an architect with HP. Damien Flynn, who I call Captain Cloud, he knows more about System Center than anyone else I know. And Michelle works as a data center Microsoft consultant in Switzerland. So he actually works for Microsoft. And we crossed paths on a customer site in Dublin. And he impressed me. And when Patrick said, "Hey, I know this guy," and I was like, "Wait, I know him too." So he was like, "Yeah, we got to get him involved." So it's working out really well.
Cool.
We're looking forward to getting it out there for
right.
people.
You know, honestly, there's a big gap. There's not that many books on Hyper-V. You know, so your timing's good, and the content, you know, will surely be awesome. So specifically with Hyper-V 2012, you know, the Windows Server 2012, I have to ask you this question because, you know, you have a better vision. I go back and forth on whether to install Windows Server and add the role or to just go with Hyper-V Server 2012, and then if you're in the first situation to go GUI or core. So, you know, and let's just assume in every situation there's going to be SCVMM and there's no other technical thing, like it might affect your backups or it might not be, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Which one would you do as a blanket recommendation?
So the only real differences between Hyper-V Server 2012 free download and the purchased versions of Windows Server is Hyper-V Server 2012 doesn't come with a GUI, so it's Windows without the Windows, and it doesn't come with the free virtualization rights for Windows Server. So when you buy Windows Server Standard, you actually get what the licensing people call two VOSIs, mm-hmm. or Virtual Operating System Environments. That's rights to install Windows Server Standard twice on that host in virtual machines. And in data center, you get unlimited VOSIs, which is why you pay that bit more for data center. And that's it. Those are the only differences. And you have the same features, same scalability and everything like that. So where I'd use Hyper-V Server 2012, VDI, where I don't have a need for any free virtual or any free copies of Windows Server as virtual machines. Mm-hmm. If I was only running Linux workloads, maybe in a lab at home, where I just want to fire up some stuff very quickly and, you know, I can't afford to go out and buy Windows Server Standard or Windows Server Data Center. Or if I have already licensed my hosts for Windows Server 2008 or 2 or older, and I'm not going to be upgrading my virtual machines, I'm going to be leaving with their current operating systems, I might upgrade my hosts to Hyper-V Server 2012. And so that's where I would use that. Mm-hmm. Then with the others, core or full GUI. So the Microsoft line on core is less disk space. That's true. However, the smallest disk I can put in a host these days is about 300 gigs. You can't get anything smaller than that. The price list says there is, but when you go ask for it, I have found personally that you will wait 3+ months. At which point they will just say, "Listen, we'll just give you the 300 gig disk for the same price." So that's not an issue for me. Less patching, yeah, that is true. However, if I have a clustered environment, I'm really not that worried about patching anymore, thanks to a cool new feature called Cluster Aware Updating, which orchestrates and allows me to automate the patching of my cluster. Plus, we've got live migration without any barriers in Windows Server 2012, including clustered and non-clustered hosts. So I'm not too worried there either. Where I do have a problem with core is the fact that there is no Windows.
Yep.
Now they were told, yes, you can actually use Server Manager to bring back Windows on a core install, but it does require a reboot. And it requires that the person who's going to be doing it has the basic ability to run the PowerShell commandlet to install the feature to get the GUI back again. The problem is, if I'm working in a larger data center environment, the guys who are going to have hands-on on that equipment when they're troubleshooting are operators. And operators very often are the people who have the very least skills because they're usually just starting in the business. And personally, if I'm troubleshooting a problem, I do not want to be searching PowerShell commandlets. There's very few people who actually learn PowerShell. Most of us actually learn how to search for PowerShell and paste. And I say that as a person who started learning PowerShell in March. And I'm doing quite a lot of PowerShell, but don't ask me to write it off the top of my head because I'm not going to remember. I'm going to go back to my own bits and reuse them, or I'm going to go searching. And when I'm troubleshooting a problem, so if I have a hardware issue, I typically, with the brand of servers I use, I need to be able to open up Internet Explorer on the machine to actually diagnose what's going on in the machine because the vendor's tools use Internet Explorer.
Yep.
So I need my GUI. So I typically, in fact, I always do a full install. And that's what I recommend to people. Not everyone agrees with me. However, we have found in the Great Big Hyper-V Survey of 2011, that myself and Damien Flynn and Hans Riedewert did last year, we found that the vast majority of people agreed with us. They preferred to do a full install because it was easier. And it wasn't really costing them anything. You know, a couple of megs of RAM, few gigs of disk, which, as we know, just doesn't really matter when you're dealing with 300 gig disks. The price wasn't that steep. And the risk was, you know, there was no risk. You know, we're not surfing the internet with these things. So drive-by attacks and zero-day attacks and that sort of thing aren't a big risk. So I do prefer doing the full install.
That's an excellent rundown of the scenarios. Outstanding. I agree with you on every count, especially the troubleshooting situation. And I'd add one more thing on the PowerShell, right? I can use it, and I'm really good at searching for PowerShell. And then what I find myself doing is if I find a commandlet that I like or, you know, a script, I save it, and I'll reuse it for that task again. But the moment I need one, I search and save, search and save, search and save. I don't just start my day, grab my coffee, and instead of, you know, doing whatever, it's just the reverse perspective. Those people are out there. I can appreciate that, right? In fact, I know who to go to. I know whose blogs to search for. In fact, I've even put their last names in some of my searches, right, to help me see to what he says on how to do that or she says on how to do it. So, I appreciate that perspective. I will say a couple nods to the free model, right? Microsoft's got an outstanding offering for the free hypervisor with Hyper-V Server 2012. And then, you know, the stuff you can do with that, you can cluster it if you want for free. But then, you know, if you have Windows guest VMs, the licensing still comes into play. So, yeah, all of that stuff comes in just like you said. And, yeah, storage capacity isn't my problem. Storage performance is my problem. And then usually I'm not out of memory either, so I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, Hyper-V actually is always free, really, and because you always have to license the hosts for Windows Server if you're running Windows Virtual Machines. So whether you're running, you know, Zen Server or VMware or whatever, mm-hmm. you're always buying the same Windows Server license, so Hyper-V is actually just a matter of taking that license and installing it on the host and checking the box for Hyper-V.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and on the PowerShell side, like, I really do recommend people actually taking the time and, you know, firing up the ISC tool and just, you know, learning PowerShell is more like learning the syntax and where to find things. Like you said yourself, knowing who to go and, you know, Bing or Google or whatever. And it's really worth it. Like, we found when we've been writing our book is that, at least myself, I'd say 60 to 70% of the example stuff I'm doing in there is PowerShell.
Yep.
Because when you actually use it, like I can build a Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V cluster now in a matter of minutes, with two mouse clicks per host. You know, it's getting really, really cool where we can use this stuff. And, you know, those scripts would be doing like advanced network configurations, or we're doing this cool thing called converged fabrics, where we can use fewer, higher capacity NICs, and virtualize the heck out of that internally to create all the various different virtual NICs for the management OS. So it has its Live Migration Network and its, you know, iSCSI NICs with our MPIO'd, and we have QoS to give, you know, quality of service. And so we reserve certain amounts of bandwidth or percentages of bandwidth to each of those connections. And through configuring the IP configs, enabling the cluster, adding the storage, turning on a cool feature called, my brain is freezing now.
Well, no, it's just, it's complicated, right? The virtualized infrastructure has so much going on, you know, and chances are the more you use it, the more you trust this technology. You've got these things like enterprise storage, and you have to manage multipathing, and you have to, you know, install drivers and use all this stuff. So it's, I get it, right? This is the stuff we deal with, but it's just great now that, you know, Hyper-V is here. This release is finally out. You saw it at Build. I saw it at the Windows Server 8. They called it at the time, Reviewer Workshop. Yeah. You know, it's a great, you know, homecoming, if you will, to finally get this out. You know, we've been seeing it and playing with it for a year. And in your professional practice, I mean, are you rolling it out? Or are you dropping it in?
So my role, I work for a distributor, so I actually sell to the people who put it into customer sites. So what I've actually been doing in the last 2 months is training Microsoft partners here in Ireland. So I put together a one-day crash course, kind of accelerated training. And it's been great over the last couple of weeks, starting to hear stories back from these guys. And I heard a very cool one today where Microsoft were actually in to meet with us, and they told us that one of the partners who we trained had actually gone out to one of their customers, a key customer, upgraded them to Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V, and were in the process of putting in Hyper-V Replica. And then I heard again from another customer afterwards, where they'd built up their own environment with Windows Server 2012 and started to use that to show customers. And they'd put in Hyper-V Replica, and they deliberately killed one of their own hosts to show it to a customer. Mm-hmm. They were that confident in Hyper-V Replica.
Yeah, you have to. That's the only way you're going to convince them.
And apparently the customer was blown away and was like reaching for the dotted line. So that was really cool to hear today.
Nice.
And so that's most of my last 2 months has either been preparing that content or delivering that content. Got to do the UK launch this week as well of Windows Server 2012, which was very cool. And to be able to follow someone like Jeff Woolsey up on stage, that was kind of cool.
Awesome.
And I've got a few conferences coming up, like the Tech Conference in Barcelona. And I've got the E2E Virtualization Conference coming up in Hamburg in November. So it's a very interesting time at the moment. A lot of people want to hear about this. Like in the UK and London this week, when, you know, I was done with my presentation, myself and a couple of the other MVPs had set up a little table with whiteboards. You know, there was 18 sponsors. I believe we were even next door to you guys in the exhibition hall. And we were snowed under by people wanting to hear about this, from the major, major international enterprise customers to the guys who are dealing with, you know, small business server customers.
Yep.
So it's great to see how excited everyone is. And, you know, we're hearing the stories of people just wanting to upgrade from 2008 or 2 to 2012, people wanting to switch from, you know, competing products over to 2012. It's definitely gotten to that point where people are saying, okay, this is something we're really interested in.
And I have done some of the Windows Server 2012 launch events. In fact, I did one just this week. We're recording on the 27th of September, and I'm doing one next week, and then I've got a whole slew of them in October and November. Outstanding stuff. Well, hey, Aidan, we keep it short and quick here, and then hopefully, you know, I'd love to have you back. I know you're a busy guy, but I'm going to wrap up, but I'm not going to let you off too easy because I got three quick questions for you. This is a segment of the podcast that I call Three Views from You. So I'm going to ask you three questions. One set in the past, the one in the future, and one in the present. So, Aidan, in your entire technical career, in any, you know, technology capacity for anything you've done in the past, what's the most interesting story you can share with us?
Oh, this actually is probably one of my interview answers. So I was about 18 months out of college, and I was working for a company called Amdahl, which went on to be consumed by Fujitsu Services. And I was working in Ireland as a consultant, and back in the days when you literally graduated from college and became a consultant, and I just started working with Windows, and a job request came in from one of our UK offices, and it was for a person who knew Windows and could learn another product that we sold called EDM. And we were rebadging it from a company called Novadyne. And my boss looked at me and said, okay, you're up. So I was like, great. And I'm heading over to the UK to deal with probably their largest bank. And I'm a bit nervous and everything, but I'm thinking, okay, the job spec suited me. So I went over, arrived at the airport over there, and the sales guy who met me said, okay, tell me everything you know about this Novadyne EDM. And I don't know anything. I'm supposed to be learning it over here. He was like, uh-oh. Okay, you're bringing you into the customer and pretend you know all about the product. So I arrive on site and found that the customer had spent the last, 2 months being trained on the product. And they were asking me loads of advanced questions, and I just had to give them, that's a very interesting question, and that really depends. So eventually, it took about 3 days, and eventually I got the sales guy to confess that there'd been a screw-up in communications. So I was sent back to Dublin, and I'm back in the office the following day, and I get the order to say, go on crash course training, the customer really liked you and wants you back. And I was like, oh wow. And I spent the next 6 months building a proof of concept on how to distribute software onto that bank's cash ATMs over an X25 network. Long before SMS was a twinkle in Microsoft's eye.
Yeah,
it was very cool, that project was. Awesome. And I got an Oscar for best performance as an EDM consultant. Wish joking about that.
That's a great story. I love that. The it depends can bail you out sometimes. Awesome.
Yeah.
How about right now? What's going on that you have the most passion for right now? I mean, I'm sure it's probably mostly, Hyper-V, but what really, pushes you right now today?
You're kind of right. It's Hyper-V. I love that just telling people about this and showing them Hyper-V in action. A lot of people have read negative things. They've read, this is only for the small, medium business, or, this thing's unstable, or Linux doesn't work on it. One of my favorite demos to do is to run a PowerShell script that just builds up the cluster and then deploys a whole bunch of VMs. And then I connect to one of those VMs and they see Ubuntu running quite happily as a VM on Hyper-V. With its built-in integration services from the Linux kernel version 3.3. And then I live migrate 20 of them at a time. And they see it happening faster than they could ever anticipate. And I just love knocking down a lot of those, preconceptions about Hyper-V just with that one simple demo. And it takes only, a few minutes for the whole thing to happen.
Yep.
So I love doing that one and, sharing what I know. And then hearing those stories from people afterwards saying, we've just been into a customer and we've done this, that, and the other. That's what's floating my boat at the moment.
Outstanding. How about in the future? What do you see longer term that's going to interest you the most?
I'm kind of curious about what appliances we're going to see. It's both physical and virtual. So we know about some of the extensions to the Hyper-V switch and Windows Server 2012 and some very cool products there. But I'm kind of curious about some of the appliances that are going to run on Hyper-V. We heard about something from F5 just recently that looked very interesting.
Yeah.
Also interested in the storage appliances, the cluster-in-a-box solutions, which are going to be very interesting for the enterprises who need those big IOPS workloads. And we saw we can get a million IOPS from a Hyper-V VM on one of those appliances. But I'm also very curious because the majority of our customers are in the SME space. So I'm curious to see the solutions that are sized for them, where they can run, you know, one of these appliances as a scale-out file server as an alternative to a SAN. And I'm also curious to see the twist on that solution where you have an entire Hyper-V cluster, two-node cluster with, you know, a decent amount of memory and JBOD disk with storage spaces running in 3U in a rack.
Yeah.
For, you know, half the price that a SAN would have cost in that solution. So I'm really looking to get some hands-on at some point with one of those if someone's very kind enough to do that for me.
I'm sure that won't be a problem.
Oh, I hope.
Well, Aidan, outstanding podcast. I really appreciate you being a guest on the show today. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for inviting me.